No way.
We're back and better than ever. Welcome back to the Full Court Press podcast.
The Full Court Press.
It's a terrible name, and I'm glad they're dead.
Still a better name than the Thunder.
Hey, my name's Luther. Come on, man. Just shoot me.
How could there be more? I don't understand.
Dear God. Joined today here by Bald.
Fuck you guys. He's ass. This will come back to bite him in the ass.
Sandy.
I heard he had sex with a couple thousand thugs. Yeah, I got a load of handle at the time for conception.
And Duke?
Donkey basket.
This is objectively a great idea.
Finger wag. I prefer not.
It's the only podcast made by fools for fools. Or should I shoot myself?
No.
Figuratively.
Everything will be fine.
All right, we're back and better than ever. Thank you so much for tuning into the Full Court Press podcast, the only podcast made by fools for fools. I'm Lufa. I'm joined today by Sandy. Sandy, say hi.
What's going on? Hello.
Nothing much, man. It's a pleasure talking to you, as always. It's a pleasure talking to you, the listeners at home.
It's not.
Stop sending me dick pics. I don't want to see them. You can. We're going to start off this week like we start off every week with our topics du jour, our topics of the week, our topics DeJounte, our topics de
juice, orange juice.
Our topics de juice, orange juice. All right. So, Sandy, pick a topic, DeJounte. We can do a in-season tourney summary as that has come to a close since we last spoke. LeBron lost to Wemby. Detroit Pistons, the fuck. Draymond Green, the fuck. Giannis, don't grab my balls. Or the new name that's been added to the trade block since we last spoke, Lauri Markkanen.
Or as you call him, La-er.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a typo there.
So, I think the funniest place to start here is Giannis freaking out over a game ball.
Yeah, no, I mean, granted, he did have the franchise record for points for the Milwaukee Bucks. He was scoring 64 against the Indiana Pacers, a team that they had lost to a week previously in the in-season tournament and led to a giant meltdown, apparently, in the locker room, resulting in Bobby Portis yelling at the team.
He's the guy. He's team leader guy. He's locker room leader, Bobby Portis. Bobby P.
So Giannis... Giannis scored 64 points and he was going to collect the game ball. And I guess the Indiana Pacers had taken it because a player on their team had scored his first ever regular season point. Even though he did have a point in the in-season tournament final game, it's important to note that the in-season tournament final game between the Indiana Pacers and Lakers, technically, for statistical reasons, doesn't exist. It is neither a playoff game nor a regular season game. Those stats don't count for anything. So his first ever official, I mean, I'm not even joking. That's a true statement. It's an 83rd game for the season for those two teams.
And yet people are hanging up a banner over it. It makes no fucking sense. I'm sorry.
I mean, of course you don't get any stats out of it. You might as well get a banner.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense.
It's a waste of everybody's time.
I highly disagree. The in-season tournament was very entertaining. It birthed the rivalry. Now Giannis is charging into locker rooms, demanding to play with balls, while the Indiana Pacers intentionally troll him and hide them from him.
I don't even know the name of the rookie who scored his first point.
Yeah, you know, I was going to look it up, but it's not important. He got another game ball because he actually got that on a free throw, so he made his first field goal the following game, so they gave him another game ball. And the Indiana Pacers account made sure to make sure everybody knew that there was no drama associated with it and that, you know, maybe some people were a bit soft.
Firstly, here, I have a solution both and I have a comment.
Okay.
So my comment is, Giannis, stop being a baby.
Okay.
And my solution, there's a very simple way to determine who gets the game ball here. You put Giannis on one side of a wrestling ring. You put the other guy on the other side of a wrestling ring, and you lower a steel cage.
I think that's pretty much what we saw. It would end with the one guy running into the locker room and Giannis chasing after him, trying to get the ball.
So when Giannis gets his hands on him, is he tearing him into in half, or is he tearing him into like multiple pieces, like two, three, four, five pieces? Because he's gonna tear his body apart.
I don't know. I don't know, but I did
with
see
bare hands.
I did see a clear MF-er being dropped by Giannis, and I'm just like, that's like, you know, that's like the. I don't mean to like infantize him, but that's literally like listening to a child swear for me. Like he's so innocent sounding in his interviews. He's always like very pensive, and he's like, yeah. "I don't believe in failure," and he's always saying like uplifting platitudes. Like, could you imagine like that just all of a sudden dropping an MF-er casually in a conversation?
It's the kid who got caught watching a YouTube video and picked up a word he shouldn't have, and he gets the mouth washed out with soap. I ask you this now. Do you think Giannis still believes
in... How would you hear that word? Giannis.
Do you think Giannis still believes in Santa Claus?
It's... You know, I don't want to say one way or another. I think that if he does believe in Santa Claus, he's realized that Santa Claus is a lot nicer to the rich than the poor.
That's fair.
There's a very good chance he didn't believe in Santa until he signed a multi-million-dollar contract. He's like, Santa just never showed up for Christmas the first 19 years of my life.
I was more so considering the fact that he has like this childlike innocence vibe.
No, I 100% understand where you're coming from.
at the same time, I didn't even consider that. Yeah, that's wow. I only go down houses that have a chimney.
I need parking for 8 reindeers on your roof. If I can't get 8 reindeers on your roof, you ain't getting any presents, kid. Tell your parents to get a better job.
That's not coal in your
stocking. Pick themselves up by their bootstraps.
Fucking bootstraps. Who came up with that shit anyway?
A dumbass. Giannis, obviously, he got angry. So that's not even half of what happened in that game, though. Did you see, like, Bobby Portis's face after Giannis got thrown to the ground viciously by Aaron Naismith?
Yeah, he lunged at that man. I thought he was... like gonna treat him like his former Bulls teammate.
I mean, like, first off, Aaron Naismith with the hip drop tackle. I mean, they're trying to get that shit out of the NFL, but you gotta be careful with that kind of stuff. and then Bobby Portis looked like he was gonna murder him. Then of course there was Giannis Antetokounmpo. He made sure to make sure everybody realized he was truly the star of the show. Hold me back, coach. He's getting held back by 3 fingers.
You know how we have the Houston 71?
Yes.
This man scored 64 points, but he shot over 30 free throws.
Yes.
I feel like we have to adjust his points. He scored like 42 points.
But he's like, that's like the highest a person scored without scoring a 3-pointer. Since the early 2000s, like
Andre Miller's 50-point game.
Yeah, it's like since the early 2000s. I think it was Shaq was the last person to do it. It's absolutely absurd, like how many points he got. And Indiana obviously can't do shit to stop anybody of size, which is weird because they have someone who used to be one of the best shot blockers in the league in Miles Turner.
Seen when teams get really good on offense, the defense tends to falter. When they're really good on defense, the offense tends to be lackluster. It's hard for a team to do both for whatever reason. I don't know why.
I don't know if we've ever seen as dramatic a disparity as we've seen in Indiana, but
it's a pretty bad change, yeah.
But I mean, at least they're fun to watch.
Yeah, oh, they're fun. Yeah, every game is exciting.
As that one guy with the grizzly avatar that you hate that works for the
Hardwood
Action Network.
Paroxysm.
Yeah, as he said, the best team to watch on League Pass is the Indiana Pacers, and the second best team to watch on League Pass is whoever they're playing.
And I don't hate him, for the record. I just think he's 100% the biggest nugget bandwagoner in the world.
He's just a fucking troll.
he, for whatever reason, like, he just shits on the Suns at every opportunity. And he's been doing it for years. And why, bro? Like, get over yourself. Anyway.
So yeah, so there's that. There was the Theonis. Theonis subbed in for Giannis with a minute left to go, and the Milwaukee crowd gave a standing ovation. And Theonis thought it was because he was stepping onto the court. He took a bow.
Of course he did. Look at me, Louie.
And then finally, the post-game interviews happen, and Giannis said that it wasn't, in fact, he wasn't trying to secure the ball for himself. Do you know why he was trying to secure the ball per Giannis?
Why?
He was securing the game ball because Dame Lillard passed the legendary Kyle Korver for fifth all-time on the three-point made list. You have to celebrate greatness. When someone passes a legend of the game like Kyle Korver in 3 points made, you have to take a game ball away from a rookie who scored his first point.
You have to take food out of his mouth and off his table. You have to threaten his very existence this planet.
Yeah, and
you have to charge like a bull headlong into a china shop straight into that locker room.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. And you have to threaten. You have to threaten Lloyd Pierce, who apparently is in Indiana after being fired by the Atlanta Hawks. You have to threaten to shove a ball down Lloyd Pierce's throat. Now,
just found out why their defense is suddenly bad.
Now, I did say something. I did say that was the last thing that was funny about this entire incident, but I did forget one more thing. Do you know what the Indiana Pacers did the following day after this game, knowing that they had to play the Milwaukee Bucks two more times?
What's that?
They signed 7-0 MMA record James Johnson.
That's what you do.
Undefeated kickboxer James Johnson.
You want me to tell you what his nickname is?
Raptors legend James Johnson. Tell me his nickname.
Six. You get six good ones.
So James Johnson has been added to the roster suspiciously after it's been illuminated that there might be some physicality in early January. Gotta get his win back so he has time to step onto the court.
I don't know if he can get a knee bar on Giannis. His leg is too big.
Yeah, but you know Giannis's run to the locker room suggests that he has a very wide stance.
and I think he runs like a gazelle.
I think you can probably get a couple shots on target relatively easily. I'm not sure his block, like his defensive boxing is up to snuff.
Oh my god! All right.
On other Giannis news, and we're gonna get into this a little bit when we talk about the Detroit Pistons. Did you see that he beat the Detroit Pistons so fucking bad that he brought his kids onto the bench and was just playing with them for the fourth quarter of the game?
I don't watch Pistons basketball. I don't even watch the highlights.
I mean, you should watch Pistons basketball whenever they play somebody good because you're about to see that person have a career night.
It's the equivalent of the Houston score. Like those games don't count.
So, obviously, the Detroit Pistons are on an all-time losing streak. I think they're four games away from breaking the NBA record at 26 consecutive losses. They had no wins in the month of November.
Hold on. You can't drop that bombshell without us playing a little bit of a game.
Okay.
Who are their next four opponents?
their game to break the record is against the Toronto Raptors.
So we just need to go through their next few games and see if the win is in there somewhere.
Well, I mean, no. They lost to the Wizards. They can't beat anybody.
Yeah, they beat somebody at least already this year.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year when everyone's still sleepy. They haven't won a game since game three of the season. they haven't won in November and December. They won before Halloween. We are like literally three holidays later.
Before,
right? Now, granted, we do stack a lot of holidays into the last few months, so that's not necessarily a fair representation. But I think it's
pretty fair.
I mean, like you need to win at least one game. You need to beat the Wizards if you're them. But that said, so they lost. So they've lost, I think, 22 games in a row as officially. And Detroit Pistons Reddit and fans have been going crazy. And there was a post that in defense of that post, they did put in brackets hypothetical. But should the Detroit Pistons consider murdering five of their players to enact an emergency draft protocol in the NBA? Per the NBA rules, if a team has a sudden death or dismemberment of five of their roster players, an emergency draft will be taken. It will take in place where all teams will only be able to protect five players. And the team in question is allowed to draft from the remaining players on the rosters. Only one player per team can be drafted.
Okay. So let's say hypothetically,
who are the five players on the Pistons that you would wish to murder or dismember so that the Pistons can play competitive basketball?
I don't even know who's on their roster. Again, I don't watch the Pistons, but I can tell you Kevin Knox, James Wiseman.
I honestly saw the
junior,
first three
Junior. Which
boys.
One is Junior? Who's Junior?
I saw the Reddit post, and honestly, the first three posts had James Wiseman and Kevin Knox in it, and I died laughing both times.
Marvin Bagley Jr.
Marvin Bagley the third, first off.
Oh, okay.
Son of a bitch.
Hey, well, he's the son of a bitch and a bitch. I mean, he's the third. He's not a junior. I don't know what to tell you there.
I mean, I didn't say anything about his parents. All right, Whoa. So we got, what do you think? Boyan Bogdanovich, do we keep him?
I think he's up for auction here on the chopping block. I think
he's on the chopping block? Okay. Joe Harris.
If we keep Joe Harris,
right?
If we keep Bogdanovich, we can't let him dribble the ball anymore when the new team is.
No.
Joe Harris is gone. Harris should have been out of the league years ago.
All right. I'm going to put Marvin Bagley III on the wait and see list. Let's see what else we have here.
Okay.
James Wiseman, we agree. He's got to go.
He's out.
He's got to go. Like, I get that you can dismember some of these people. Like, maybe Joe Harris, I don't know anything about him personally or anything like that. I think we could go away with just cutting off a foot. But James Wiseman, you don't want to take any chances.
He might come back to life.
Kate Cunningham.
I think he's safe. I feel like he's safe.
All right, we're going to keep Kate Cunningham. Alec Burks.
I feel like he might be safe.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think he's one of the better players there. Monte Morris.
You know what? I think it's better to get rid of him just so you stop calling him.
It would be helpful for me, to be honest. Yeah. I'm nominating him for that same reason. So we have two for sure's right now. James Wiseman and Monte Morris. Asar Thompson.
He just got there. He's safe.
Okay. Jaden Ivey. I like Jaden.
I think he's safe.
All right. Killian Hayes.
I mean, it's in the name.
I mean, yeah. At this point in time, you got to. If it's for the greater good, Killian. Maybe we'll take an arm. You don't seem to be using it very much, anyways. Isaiah Stewart.
No, Stewie is safe. He stood up to LeBron. He's an all time great.
Jalen Duren.
I mean, isn't he like their center of the future?
Yeah, I think we got to keep him. Marcus Sasser.
I don't even know who that is. He's on the list, I guess.
He's a really good shooter. They should be giving him more minutes, to be honest.
Oh, okay. I guess he's safe.
Kevin Knox, gone.
Yeah, gone. I mean, he only just got back there anyway.
And then Isaiah Livers.
Isaiah Dyers.
So Kevin Knox, Isaiah Livers, Killian Hayes, Monte Morris, James Wiseman, Joe Harris. So that's six. We got to take one of them off. I think we'll keep Livers. Livers can shoot. So we'll keep Livers around. All right. There we go.
There's now, which five players are they drafting?
All right. Well, like, I mean, that's going to be a little bit harder because you have to figure, well, let's just assume that it's a player that's not starting right now. So they need a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Where's Oklahoma City? There's a guy on there that I'm trying to
see.
There's a guy on there I think that would be good. Isaiah Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Joe would be a good one to throw in there. The Lakers have Reeves coming off the bench currently.
They're taking Trae Young.
I mean, if Trae Young's not protected, I doubt that he'd be not. They'd not protect him.
I don't know why they would.
The Hornets, they haven't been starting Brandon Miller. Maybe they could take Miles Bridges.
Yeah, he's actually been pretty good this year. The Nets have a lot of young guys, and I'm assuming that Cam Thomas is probably.
Cam Thomas is definitely going to be protected.
I think they have too many young guys to protect all of them.
Yeah, well, if I'm them, they're not going to be protecting Ben Simmons. They're definitely going to be protecting Bridges, Johnson, Thomas, Claxton, and then either Dorian Finney-Smith or Dinwiddie or, let's see here.
Dinshitty.
Thompson, Claxton, Bridges, Johnson. Yeah. Probably Dorian Finney-Smith, I'd imagine. So you probably could get Dinwiddie. You could probably get Royce O'Neal. You could get Dennis Smith Jr. Of course, they could have gotten him before anyways. Chicago, you could probably get Patrick Williams. You could probably get Javon Carter.
Magic got a lot of young guys.
Yep, but Magic don't have anybody who can shoot. For the love of God, if you're going to execute five players on your roster to institute a draft, Duncan Robinson, that's who you need to get.
$30 million man.
20, but still.
I'm of the mind that the Heat might protect him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been their everything this season. All right, so that's the Detroit Pistons, the fuck.
The fuck.
So what do you want to talk about next? Do you want to talk about in-season tourney stuff? You want to talk about LeBron losing to Wemby? Draymond Green the fuck, or Lauri Markkanen being on the trade block?
I personally don't understand why LeBron losing to Wemby is such a big deal.
Well, because it's the first win that the Spurs had in 19 games.
Oh, so they were also on an iconic legendary losing streak?
Yeah, yeah, and basically it was Wemby's first time against LeBron, and like they asked him too, they're like, you know, did you feel like a little something when you went up against LeBron? And he said, you know, at first when I was thinking about it, I thought I definitely would. But then when I realized we were winning, I just liked that feeling a lot more.
Oh, he's going to be all right.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Did you, speaking about unicorns, did you see Chet Holmgren's 9-block game?
Yep.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah, no, he's pretty good. He's a pretty good player.
I think he might be better.
I think he's better right now than Wemby.
That's crazy, though. I think he might be better.
Wemby's putting up ridiculous numbers, and he's clearly not up to speed yet. You know, once he gets the processing levels down, man, it's game over. I did declare at the beginning of the season, I don't think people will ever score again against the Spurs. And I was obviously a little premature on that. Their defense sucks. But there will be a time when that team is going to be letting up 70-point games. And we're going to be like, is Wemby ruining basketball? And the answer will be yes. So yeah, that's LeBron losing to Wemby. Draymond.
This man lost his fucking mind.
Lost his goddamn mind. Lost it.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, but I mean, it's
pretty funny.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So obviously he had an incident earlier in the season where he decided to put Rudy Gobert into a chokehold.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to knock him out. And then then the other day the Warriors were playing the Pistons and Yusuf Nurkic was guarding Draymond Green like anybody would on an inbounds pass, and Draymond allegedly flailed and just completely cold-cocked Yusuf Nurkic right in the face.
Yep, right in the fucking face.
Just cleanly on the jaw. So for those who are keeping score at home, we are now at 2 punches in the face, one jump on the chest, one jump on the head, and one choke hold in the last, 18 months, 16 months for Draymond Green.
How many texts has he received this year?
I think he's at 7.
This is like the fastest I've seen a guy get that many in a while. This is like Rasheed Wallace levels of just counting them up. Just
to date, he has been ejected or suspended.
Oh, he's suspended right now.
Yeah, but he's been ejected or suspended for half of the Warriors games this season. And he has got an indefinite suspension. Some people think that it'll probably be in the 8-game range when it's all said and done. He has been asked to go and seek counseling for mental issues. I don't think this is mental issues. I think this is what happens when you enable a psychopath.
Let me ask you here. Do we think that he did this on purpose so he had an excuse to go watch LeBron play Wimby?
I don't know if he did it for that reason. I definitely think that, listen, I believe that he may have been flailing. I also believe that he definitely meant to hit Yusuf Nurkic during that flail. I don't know if I would go out to say that he intended to hit him straight across the face.
He's always aiming for the balls.
It's clear that it was an open hand hit. It wasn't really like he was trying to land a punch. And you know he's coordinated. I just don't know if he can really like set that aim up from behind the back. As like, I mean, you know, Jokic can do the behind the back pass. Maybe that's maybe this is Draymond Green's superpower, the behind the back head check.
Superpower, just knocking the shit out of somebody.
Yeah, just like with his back turned, I could knock you out with my eyes closed. I did it to the Giant.
He's going to be a Laker next year.
Yeah, who, Draymond or Yusuf?
Like, Draymond.
Yusuf Nurkic has famously come to Draymond's defense a number of times, protecting his legacy. When people asked if Draymond Green would be a Hall of Famer if it weren't for Steph Curry, he called reporters idiots because Draymond clearly knows ball. And then, so it's kind of sad that it happened to that guy. And then on top of that, he was just like, I don't know what's wrong with him. Like, I just don't understand what's happening.
So here's my question now that you've said that. Of all people in the league, why are they asking Yusuf Nurkic about Draymond's legacy? And
he openly shares it.
Oh, he's
it
just,
was like, okay. It was like he got into Twitter disputes with reporters like Zach Lowe and stuff like that over defending Draymond's legacy because he cares about the game that much that Draymond possesses. And then even afterwards, like, Draymond's just like, man, I would never have hit Nurk. Like, you know, like, he's just like, you know, there's like a mutual respect there. It's completely different than like what happened with the Rudy Gobert, where you're like, there's a premeditation.
Oh,
like,
he choked.
Yeah. Like, I mean, everyone's like, yeah, if Draymond has the opportunity, he's definitely going to choke out Rudy Gobert. There's just no way that that's not happening.
Yeah, if Draymond has the opportunity, he's absolutely going to drop kick Rudy Gobert right off of a cliff.
You're right. Like, now, Ramona Shelburne did have a report where she talked to him, and Draymond said that, you know, he realized afterwards he was going to get suspended because when he watched the video, he clearly held on to Gobert much longer than he thought he did. he said that, like, time is, you know, time is speeding by, and like, I didn't think that I held on to him that long, but it was clear that I did. And you know, that was like, that was the closest that he got to remorse at that point. He did overtly apologize in his post-game interview to Yusuf Nurkic, but a lot of good that's gonna do anybody. You can't be going around punching people in the face. I mean, he can, but you can't do it multiple times in front of cameras.
Yeah. You've got to be more discreet, Draymond.
Yeah. I mean, you got to just stop doing that one thing. Like, try punching an arm every once in a while. Maybe get a shot to the knee.
Or kick him at the balls like he used to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, he got suspended for those too, so he's got to stop doing that. He's just got to vary it up. There's other parts of the body that you can inflict pain on. You don't have to go with the basics.
Ron Artest Meta World Peace once elbowed James Harden so hard on the side of the head that his head dented. Should try that, Draymond.
Yeah, and you know, that was pretty legendary, and I believe he got suspended for that.
Draymond hasn't been suspended for it yet.
It's true. So Draymond Green defucked. Now we have, obviously, the in-season tournament or Lauri Markkanen on the trade block. What do you want to talk about?
I got no desire to talk about the Jazz or Laurie Markkanen, so let's talk about the tournament.
So, yeah, big news out of the tournament. The Lakers won the inaugural in-season tournament. They beat the Indiana Pacers pretty handily. It was a bit of a blowout. The Indiana Pacers obviously had a big coming out party in front of everybody who wasn't on this podcast, who had been predicting from the beginning of the season, beginning of the offseason, and definitely were talking about it last season, about the superstar that is Tyrese Haliburton. They did figure out how to guard him. They trapped Tyrese Haliburton. They slowed him down. He started turning the ball over, which is something he never does. So it'll be interesting to see if that's a blueprint that will follow the Indiana Pacers when they make their inevitable run in the playoffs this year. That said, did you have any insights as to, did the in-season tournament, you think, was it a success? Did it seem to change the pace for the NBA for the first little bit of the season?
I didn't expect teams to play as hard for it as they were, I'll tell you that, considering the price was just money, and it wasn't even like a lot of money, considering what they're paid in their contracts.
$500,000, I take that. I'm going to turn it away.
How much is LeBron paid this season?
I mean, he made an extra 2% bonus for Christmas. As I believe Russell said, can't think of his first name right now, D'Angelo. D'Angelo Russell said, this will pay for 2 summer vacations.
Yeah, you're gonna get those earlier than you might be expecting, D'Angelo.
I mean, could you imagine having two? That's two.
Cancun is expensive.
$250,000 vacations, 2 of them. He said he might also get an all-star breakout of it too. So,
no, that's not gonna happen. At least not as a representative of your team.
I think he's talking about traveling somewhere during all-star break.
Oh yeah, that'll happen.
I don't think he's suffering under any illusions.
That's good. That's good. It's good that he knows.
Now, one of the things that was illuminated upon based off of the in-season tournament was Miles Bridges is a Lego fanatic.
Oh, wow.
He's a Lego creator. He's not a builder. And he has a lifestyle Darth Miles statue made of Legos.
Darth Miles or Darth Maul?
Darth Miles. So it's him in a Vader outfit. No helmet, and it's his height.
It would be an absolute shame if he accidentally stepped on some Legos one day.
I would explain all his foot issues, to be honest. Ankle problems. Then, obviously, something else that was brought up during the in-season tournament was Zion Williamson and the Pelicans were completely Boston-owned by the Los Angeles Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to everyone just saying Zion's fat.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Yeah. There was reports that the Pelicans were like, we need you to stop eating. Stephen A. Smith says that he has good knowledge among restaurants in New Orleans that say he eats entire tables.
That's the funniest thing. Woo, we need to bring back the Messy Bitch Award.
I don't believe that's true. I mean, like, I believe.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I believe that he's eaten at restaurants, and he may eat a lot, but I don't believe. I think that if he ate an entire table, there would have been more than just Stephen A. talking about that.
No. Stephen A.'s got sources you wouldn't even imagine.
And every restaurateur is like, oh, fuck, man, you gotta get the small table out because we can't lose one of the 6-seaters again.
Do you think Gordon Ramsay has developed a gourmet table for him just yet to try?
I mean, there's obviously a market for it if that's what he's deciding to eat. That said, Zion Williamson has responded and had a number of really great games. Seems to be a little bit more motivated than normal. I think it's stupid. Like, I mean, he's a person who has to not be able to trust his body, clearly. It's betrayed him a lot in the last few years. I can imagine that he had half effort as he was trying to get up to game speed, and he didn't really see the value in going full bore. That said, the Pelicans are a different story if he's not going to be 100% throughout the season. That's for sure.
Didn't go full bore, so he ate a full board.
Yep. Yes, a whole table. He just eats whole tables. He doesn't even get food anymore.
My man's nickname is Splinters.
He doesn't even get food anymore. He's like, I don't understand. What's a plant? It's my veggies.
Man goes down to a 3 Michelin star restaurant, and then they pull out this like extravagant menu, and he's like, "Oh, my meal's already here."
Yeah. Can you bring some salt and pepper, actually, and some Parmesan? Thanks.
I'd like some A1 sauce, please.
A1 sauce, yeah, for sure. And old Franks, I put that shit on everything. So yeah, names on the trade block. Apparently, Lauri Markkanen is getting shopped around by the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think?
I don't think anything.
You think they're going to trade him?
Apparently, Donovan Mitchell's getting traded too.
Yeah, I heard that. I mean, that makes sense. I heard that the Chicago Bulls made so basically the Cleveland Cavaliers inquired on Zach LaVine. And mm-hmm. The Chicago Bulls said that they wanted to trade Zach LaVine. That's fine. We'd be happy to do that for Darius Garland.
Garland, not Mitchell?
Yeah. Also, it's reported that they're looking to trade Zach LaVine for win-now pieces. They're not interested in rebuilding.
Again, I mean, I posted a video just adequately summed up my thoughts on that. They're dummies. Win-now against whom?
I mean, are the Chicago Bulls for real?
Win the division now?
They're 5-5 in their last 10 games.
Which they're in the Central, right?
Yes.
Who else is in that division?
I don't know. Who knows about
division? Win now against who? Who are you winning against now? It's not the Nuggets. It's not the Suns. It's not the Lakers. It's not the Celtics. It's not the Bucks. It's not the Heat. It's not the Pacers. Who are you winning now against?
Let's see.
It's not the Mavericks or the Timberwolves. Who are you winning against now? It might be the Pistons. You might win now against them.
Yeah. Bucks, Pistons, Pacers, Cavs.
Okay, well, I mean, the Cavs are shit.
We're skipping
and I called that one, so.
Do you remember when?
130 to 108. And they did that without LaMelo. They did it without Miles Bridges. Who played for the Pelicans? I don't think I can name two of their starters. I think they got a Plumlee somewhere.
Well, it's weird that you mentioned LaMelo and Miles Bridges. I think you might think that they're the Hornets? Or was that a joke that I just,
you know what?
I just didn't understand?
It's the Pelicans.
The Pelicans have Zion, they have Brendan Ingram, they have Jonathan Tunis. They have a bunch of players there.
You know what? We dragged on a little too far. Let's just cut that. Let's just cut this. Cut the last 5 minutes.
Welcome to the new segment. What the hell are we doing? What are we doing here?
I was just a little confused. All right.
Can I go 1 week without a press?
Well, I guess it's up to you.
Full Court Press.
You're listening to the Full Court Press podcast.
All right, we're back in better than ever. So, names that you definitely don't know which team they're playing for. So, I'm not going to go with any two-way players. I'm just going to go with some strange names here, and let's see if you know which team they are.
I'm going to absolutely fail this miserably.
Chuma Okeke.
I feel like that's Oklahoma City.
Ooh, you would be wrong.
Yeah.
He's on your favorite team of all time.
Oh, wow.
The Orlando Magic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How about Jake La Riviera?
New Orleans.
The Memphis Grizzlies. The New Orleans of Memphis.
Hey, Jazz is popular there, too.
Okay, how about this one? You definitely know where this one is, okay? There's just no way you could possibly not know this one. Garrett Temple.
He's in China.
Close enough. Toronto. okay, all right. This team always, everyone knows all the players on this team because they play all of them. So, can you tell me, Drew Smith?
The Nuggets.
The Miami Heat. All right, we're gonna keep doing this until you get one. Okay, I got another one off a team that you spent a lot of time watching. Okay, so You tell me, JT Thor.
JT Thor.
Yeah, you definitely know this one, man. Look into your heart. You know that it's true.
Is he on like...
He's on a basketball team.
Yeah, I'm just...
In the NBA.
I'm going to say Chicago.
Charlotte Hornets. O'Shea Brissett.
Oh, that's Indiana.
Boston Celtics. All right.
Oh, wow. He's moved. Oh, wow. Same place, same face, new place.
Yeah. All right. How about this? This guy is not getting a lot of minutes right now. Let's see if you know this one. Reggie.
Pretty sure he's in... he was in Dallas last year. I want to say he's in either Denver or Brooklyn.
He got traded to the San Antonio Spurs, and the San Antonio Spurs cut him. And then he was signed by this team.
It's not Dallas, because he was there, I thought.
No, he was in Dallas, and he was traded to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't be allowed to sign back in Dallas. That one's dead. Dallas and San Antonio are not the answers. I'm giving you that much.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it is either Denver or Brooklyn.
All right. He is playing with unknown all-star Boban Marjanovic in Houston. All right, let's go here. Houston. Mason Plumlee.
He's a Clipper.
He is a Clipper. Bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo. Bravo.
That's a guy that's obvious, though, because the Clipper's on TV a lot.
Well, I honestly thought that the last three were pretty obvious. I didn't
O'Shea?
Yeah, O'Shea Brissett. He was on the Boston Celtics. I was talking about him constantly at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I only know him from his time in Indiana.
Yeah.
I call him O'Shea Brisket.
There's absolutely no way you're going to know this one. Patty Mills. Patty, I got traded 17 times during the offseason, Mills. Do you know which hat he ended up getting put on his head to begin the season?
I feel like he's fucking in, like, China or coaching or something.
No, he's in the NBA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was on Brooklyn.
It's not the 76ers, is it?
76ers? No, it is not. No, he was traded to the 76ers, I believe.
I remember he was in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he was in Brooklyn last season. He got traded. OKC, I think, had him, and then OKC traded him one more time to this team.
Portland?
Atlanta Hawks.
Why?
Oh,
the Hawks, they're close. They need a veteran presence for Trae Young.
Yep. I think they ended up getting a couple former first-round draft picks as
well.
What
the fuck is Patty Mills going to do to you? Your team's not going anywhere. Why are you trading for a bet?
Yes. All right, let's see here. All right, I promised you that I'd do one. I'd do it until you got one right, but I want to keep going.
I got Mason.
I know. I want to keep going. So I'm going to give you Mike Muscala.
Mike Muscala, I want to say, is...
Do you want a hint?
Sure.
All right. He'll put a spell on you.
He's a magic?
The other ones that put spells on people. The wizards.
Oh. Well, I mean, they put curses on people.
They cast spells, man. That wasn't a bad hint. You're just a bad guesser. Are you panicked? With the way the Warriors have been playing this offseason. This season.
If I'm a Warriors fan, fuck yeah.
So the Warriors are without Draymond Green indefinitely with a suspension.
Yeah.
It appears that they're without Andrew Wiggins and Klay Thompson indefinitely with incompetence.
Well, for sure, yeah.
Andrew Wiggins is no longer starting for the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry is obviously otherworldly. Pajemski seems to be doing very well. Moses Moody might be an NBA player. Kuminga might not be.
I mean, technically, he is an NBA player.
They are sitting in 11th place in the West at 11-14. They are two full games behind the Suns in 10th place.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Wizards? Should you be panicking about the Wizards 25 games into the season?
I feel like if you're not, you're lying.
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't expect the Wizards to be like an automatic bid playoff team. this season. I thought for sure that they would be in a play-in situation, but
I expected them to be pretty terrible.
This is a lot worse than I was expecting, I think.
I expected them to be pretty bad.
I don't think you had them this bad. I'm not going to lie.
I feel like I had them in the bottom three.
The bottom three, jeez. I should have called you on that. That's a ridiculous bit.
Hey, right. Man, I mean, it's working out.
All right. So if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, are you panicked?
You should be. I called them being not as good as last year, too.
Cleveland Cavaliers are currently eighth in the East with 14 wins, 12 losses. They've lost Evan Mobley for what appears to be 6 weeks. Jared Allen is not having a good season.
The bright light just fucking scarred that, man.
Darius Garland's not been having a good season. Mitchell seems to be doing Mitchell things, but he's all by himself really at this point in time. Max Strus seems to be working out. So if you were the Cleveland Cavaliers right now, would you be panicking?
I feel like you should be, yeah.
Really? Even though they're 2 games above 500? Like, I get that they're not third in the East right now, but it's not like they're, like, way out of it.
They were third in the East last year, and they didn't beat anybody. Who are you going to beat if you're the Cavs?
The Magic.
Okay, great. You're beating a cellar dweller.
The Magic are a cellar dweller?
Last year, they were a cellar dweller. You're beating a team that no one expected to be as good as they've been.
I think if they make the playoffs and they get matched up with the Magic or the Knicks, they could make a competitive match.
Oh, are you saying the Magic are going to retain where they are?
I don't know about that. I mean, they've already they already dropped significantly since the last time we talked. They were second in the East. Now they're down to fourth.
The rankings that we have right now are not going to be the playoff matchups.
You don't think so? Where do you think the Magic are going to bottom out? Play-in? I think
they'll be like 6th or 7th or 8th.
Play-in then. Okay. All right. So you're panicking if you're the Warriors, you're panicking if you're the Cavs. If you are the Phoenix Suns, like I mentioned before, 10th in the 10th in the West, they have a 13-12 record. They have had, one game where their big three was healthy, and it looks like Beal's going to be out for another 3 to 4 weeks with ankle problems. If you are the Phoenix Suns, are you panicked?
No, I'm not. I think they'll be okay. But that's because I watched them more than any other team, so I know. Last year, they ended up starting off terrible, and they dragged – well, they started good, and then they fell off, and they dragged themselves back into it. They'll be fine.
Yeah, they did start off pretty good. I think around this time they were around first in the West.
They were number one in the West, and then they Booker got hurt, and they ended up falling out of it, and they ended up all the way out of the playoffs, and they climbed back into it. They'll be fine.
All right. So you thinking that they're going to make an automatic bid, or you think they're going to stay in the play-in area?
I think so.
Superstar teams like the Houston Rockets and the New Orleans Pelicans.
I think they will finish in the top five.
These win percentages in the West are out of hand right now.
How many games behind first are they? They're not that far back.
They are 7 games behind first.
7 games is nothing.
Yeah. I mean, they're a quarter of the way through the season. So it's not.
They just came off of winning 6 or 7 in a row, did they not?
I don't know. They're 4-6 in their last 10, so I don't think so.
They won a lot of in a row when Booker first came back because Booker was cooking fools.
Yeah. But yeah, right now it's not looking great for Phoenix. I tend to agree with you about not panicking. It's just that the Beal situation is a lot worse than even I had anticipated. I knew injury problems would be an issue on this team, and pretty much Kevin Durant hasn't had any health issues, which. I don't know if that's good or bad for the Suns right now, because does that just mean he's just going to get them later on in the season? But they've already lost some time with Booker, and right now Beal is progressing towards having his career high in missed games, which for a guy who never plays full seasons is very troubling, especially considering the contract that he's owed following this season as well. The Toronto Raptors. Toronto Raptors are 11th in the East. They are 10-15. losers of three of their last seven. They have, there are 3-7 in their last 10. No health issues to note. They seem to play very well, well offensively for some reason, but their defense has been pedestrian. They can't shoot threes or guard anybody from three. So if you're the Toronto Raptors, are you panicked?
I don't think they should be.
I think the only reason why you panic is because you have three core players or allegedly core players with expiring contracts this offseason. And last time you had a core player with an expiring contract, they went to Houston and are now sitting in a play-in position.
Yeah, I think when you're a team that has a lot of pieces that are pretty much up for trades, everyone's talking about making moves and involving your guys, I think that you're always a move away from being right back in it, no matter how out of it you currently are.
I agree. I tend to, like, if they decide to make a decision, like, I think realistically the Raptors are in a position where they have to make a decision right now between OG Anunoby or Pascal Siakam. Now, the problem is OG Anunoby is worth more than the contract that they can offer him right now. They have to wait till the offseason to offer it to him. However, Pascal Siakam could be given the max right now, and they can sign him and move forward. So if I were the Raptors, I think that OG fits better with the remaining core of Scottie Barnes. But I think that the Pascal Siakam also fits pretty well with Scottie Barnes. He's had a really good season thus far on lower usage. And, you know, OG will get you back more pieces. I think if I was the Raptors, that would be the direction I would end up going. But that said, I'm not the Raptors front office. And I don't think that they'll make a decision till probably the trade deadline anyways. And even then, we've seen that they don't even make decisions at that time anyway. So it will be another entire season of people thinking that they deserve Toronto Raptors players and then being upset that they didn't get them.
We'll see what happens, I guess. I think that they're a team that you've got all these guys. You can't retain all of them. You got to move off of somebody. I think the answer is Pascal gets traded because he's older.
Yeah, I think that, like, Pascal would make sense, but I don't know if the market is as strong for Pascal as it would be for OG. And then the other aspect is that you got to really hope that OG wants to stay. Which, you know, one second here. Sorry, I had to sneeze. There's no, like, you have, like, the 76ers sitting there with max cap space and stuff like that. And there's definitely some appealing teams, like Indiana Pacers could look to make a move in free agency as well. The OKC could look to make a move in free agency as well. Whereas if they went to, like, Indiana, they went to Philadelphia, and they went to OKC and would be like, give us your best offer, they could definitely get a huge offer for OG from any of those three. And then, you know, and then re-sign Pascal now and have a core that's actually situated and have an understanding of what this team's going to look like in the future at the very least. So that's why I think I would be leaning more towards trading OG. You're going to get more for it. Pascal's a great player, but I can't see a team that would be willing, that has any assets worth trading for, that isn't the Atlanta Hawks or the Indiana Pacers, that would have a use for Pascal without dramatically changing the functionality of their franchise. I think Pascal in Indiana would be amazing because Pascal is a fucking beast in transition. And I think him and Haliburton would just destroy teams.
And teams would destroy them.
Well, I mean, Pascal is a much better defensive player than pretty much everybody on their team. So I don't know if it would be as bad as you think it is on that side. And they have some interesting, they have all their draft picks, so they have some interesting prospects like Jabari Walker and such that the Raptors could be interested in. Buddy Hield will be another interesting name. Would be another awesome name for the Raptors to pick up because he basically gives them everything that they're missing right now in the 3-point side of the ball. But
I got a great graphic for you from Twitter.
Okay.
This is from Tom Haberstroh.
No, the habit.
Career disciplinary actions. Because tonight, the Warriors are playing Portland.
Oh, interesting.
All right. Draymond Green versus the entire Blazers roster. Draymond Green has 171 technicals.
Yep.
The entire Blazers roster has 51.
Yeah, but how many games have that entire roster played? Outside of, like, Jeremy Grant, is everybody else on their first contract?
Draymond Green has 20 career ejections. The entire Blazers roster has one.
Yeah.
Draymond Green has forfeited $2.5 million. The Blazers have forfeited $0.1
million. And let that be a lesson to you, kids. Crime doesn't pay.
Do you remember when?
Fultz is going to be back here at the Fultz Court Press pod. We love that guy. So we're looking forward to seeing him play. Hopefully the full season. Hopefully nothing comes up outside of his stub toe. You know what I mean?
Buddy, come on, man. You just... The Fultz season. The Fultz right season. There. It was right there. Jesus Christ.
I just did Fultz Court Press. Like, I'm not going
to
do
Fultz. I know, but like, I mean, if you already were going to do Fultz puns, yeah, man, come on.
Just go all in.
Like, God damn it. I can't edit it back in, just so you know. Like, I can't make it sound like
this. This is funnier. This is funnier.
Get a clean take. Just start it. Yeah.
You're listening to the Fultz Court Press podcast.
All right, we're back in better than ever. Thank you for listening to self-indulge a little bit here on the Fultz Court Press podcast. I have a question for you.
All right.
Torrey Craig, what team? You know this one.
Torrey Craig. Hold on.
Sounded like you climaxed.
Wait, no, I'm just... It's not the Nuggets, is it?
It is not the Nuggets, no.
Is it the Bucks?
It is not the Bucks, no. He is a Chicago Bull. How about Malik Beasley? Malik Beasley, lockdown point of attack defender. At least that's what this team said. They've started him a number of games at point guard. And they're a contender. Touch the ball. You still there? Did I lose you? Oh no, did I lose you? Sandy, I can't hear you. Oh, I hear you again.
I don't know what happened there.
You're in here twice now. I don't know what that's about, but we'll... Oh, no, you're out. The second one. Can you still hear me?
Oh, I can hear you, but what the fuck happened?
I don't know, but do you know which team Malik Beasley plays on? And do you know... Did you hear all my hints?
Malik Beasley is a Buck. I don't know. We were talking about Torrey Craig.
Yeah, we were talking about Torrey Craig. He's a Chicago Bull. And then I was asking.
Yeah, you started to reveal that answer, and then it died.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah, I knew Beasley was a Buck. I have him in fantasy. All
right. Yeah, that's great. How about this one? Simone Fontecchio.
He sounds like someone who probably plays in Texas. I'm going to assume he's a Spur.
Close. Utah. He plays with the Texas Ranger.
Oh, wow.
All right. Now it's time for who you believe. Do you believe the Indiana Pacers are for real?
I think they are.
The Indiana Pacers, let's review their standings. They are currently sitting 7th in the East. They are at 13-11. They were runners-up in the play-in tournament. They stole Giannis's ball.
Mm-hmm.
They are currently on a 3-game losing streak, but Tyrese Halliburton has missed a few of those games, and they also lost to the Wizards recently, so that's a little concerning, even without Tyrese Halliburton.
So I think their biggest concern is whether or not Miles and Bert stay healthy, because Miles and Bert are always getting hurt. But they're for real if they stay healthy.
Yeah, if Halliburton stays healthy, even if Miles goes down, I feel like, I don't feel like they have a player that will necessarily give them what Miles gives them. I think that they still have the offense that's going to give them as many wins as they get right now. It's just Halliburton. Halliburton's is a historic number one offense all in of himself.
I think we can go on and submit it, though, that he's the best passer the league's ever seen.
No.
You don't think so? Not no. yet. Very soon.
Man, I still see these highlights from Jokic, and they are insane. Like, don't get me wrong. I think that the
okay.
generation.
Okay, hold on. We're gonna go ahead, but there's a reason that I'm gonna dispute this.
Okay. I think the generation of the fast break, I don't know if there's ever been a player like Tyrese Halliburton since Steve Nash. So if you're talking about generating on the fast break, I think that Tyrese Halliburton is definitely the best passer in that situation. But when you're talking about half court passing,
yeah,
I'm definitely going to go Jokic.
Okay. Halliburton is 6'5". Jokic is 6'11".
Yeah.
Jokic sees the court a lot better than Halliburton does, considering he sees over everybody's fucking head.
No, I agree that he is definitely smaller than Jokic.
I think that in itself makes Halliburton a better passer.
I think that
it's more difficult for him.
If you denote physical gifts, then you could probably just eliminate all the NBA players that we're talking about.
No.
I'm a better passer than Tyrese Halliburton. If you just take away the fact that he's faster than me, stronger than me, taller than me,
you're battling a really silly argument there. What I'm saying is, you have to consider that Jokic is having the ball in the post more often than not, or at the top of the key. Halliburton's passing it from everywhere on the court.
I'm saying that if you have somebody in the half court with the ball. Mm-hmm. Who I think is going to generate the more the better pass, Tyrese Halliburton or Jokic? I'm going to say Jokic. And while Tyrese Halliburton is great at starting the fast break, and he keeps the Indiana Pacers on this fast break a lot, as you can see in the Lakers game, that can be slowed down. And then when that gets slowed down in the half court, you know, he generates more turnovers, and that's fine. Like, I mean, he's still an excellent passer. I'm just saying that when the push comes to shove, who is going to be the better passer for us? Right. I think Jokic has the resume that suggests that he's the best passer in the NBA.
Okay, who's the best passing point guard in NBA history? Don't say Scott Skiles.
Well, I guess if you're just going to go with raw numbers, you'd have to probably go with Stockton, right?
I don't like him.
I know.
Why is it that all the Jazz legends are such pieces of shit? Anyway, I don't want to get hampered down by the Jazz. Fuck them. Carmelo on 13.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot more to add to that. what's Mark Eaton like? Do we know anything about Mark Eaton? Should we know anything about him?
Oh, God, I don't even want to research it just in fear of what I might find.
Are the Magic, do you believe? Do you believe in the Magic?
I believe that the Magic are going to be good. I don't believe that they are as good as they have been so far, just yet.
Yeah.
But I do think that they will be this good sooner than later. I think that they, in a year, will be a top three team, or at least pushing for a home court playoff spot.
If believe means that I think they can make the play-in and, you know, make a playoff series...
I'm talking about what they currently are.
If a believe is that I think that they're a home court playoff team, I think that I don't believe in that. But
yeah,
do you believe in the Wolves?
Are they still number one?
They are number one with a motherfucking bullet. They are 8-10. Oh wait, sorry. They're
like 8-10
in their last 10 games. They're on 2-game winning streak. They are 19-5. A full
five is really good.
A full 3 games ahead of second place OKC.
So I think we're both in agreement that the Nuggets are going to win the West
in the playoffs.
Oh, I mean, like in terms of regular season record.
Okay.
I don't think that they're going to stay number one. I think that they will be a top 3 or top 4 finishing team, though. I think number 2 is possible, but I do think the Nuggets are going to climb that ladder because I think the Nuggets are just better.
At this point in time, I don't know who's going to upset them. They look like they're on a string defensively. They are so good offensively. I think that when push comes to shove, I think that I agree that the Nuggets might be able to surpass them, but the Nuggets don't seem like they're taking this season very seriously to begin with.
Jokic just wants to go home and play with his horses.
Yeah, he had his long off.
Aaron Gordon misses his Serbian mother.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon wants to go home and play with Jokic's horses as well.
Oh,
So the Nuggets, like, I could see them getting up there, but honestly, at this point in time, I'm like, is it going to be an honest to God battle between OKC and the Minnesota Timberwolves for first place in the West?
No. Don't be ridiculous.
I honestly think that the Wolves should finish first or second at this point in time.
There's a long season ahead.
It's a long season, but they've
already... We are 1/4 of the way through. There's 60 games to go.
They've already shown that they can survive injuries to core players like Jaden McDaniels.
Jaden McDaniels is not one of their top three best players.
What
are they going to do if Edwards gets hurt? What are they going to do if Gobert or Towns gets hurt? What are they going to do if, God forbid, Conley gets hurt?
That one might be the question right there. Maybe they can trade back for Fatecchio.
The thing about Conley is fucking old, bro.
He is, yeah. He's
got a lot of miles on that body.
All right. So we'll agree to disagree then. I think
they're going to be good. I just don't think they're going to be the number one seed.
Do you believe in the Bulls? The 12th place Bulls?
No.
They won some games, bud. Kobe White.
I think Kobe White's great, but I don't think the Bulls are great.
Do you believe in Kobe White?
I think if you spray the bathroom after you take a shit, it doesn't change the fact that shit is in the area. Like, I think that...
What if it's a disinfectant spray?
I don't think it changes anything.
All right. How about Kawhi? Is Kawhi for real?
Oh, buddy. If Kawhi is actually healthy, and I mean, like, when I say healthy, I mean, like, he ain't getting hurt. That team, well, specifically that guy is fucking for real. He's Kawhi at his peak. He's one of my favorite players ever. I'm just going to be blunt here. If he never got hurt, if he never got played with those injuries, he'd be in the conversation with Durant, LeBron at this point. He'd be on pace for like a top 15 all-time guy, top 10 all-time guy, just because both ends of the court.
So in the last 10 games, he's averaging 30 points, he's averaging 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 75% field goal percentage.
He's so fucking good. God, don't let him get hurt again. Don't rob us of this man playing ball.
In the last 14 games since Russell Westbrook has went to the bench, the Los Angeles Clippers are 11-3. Harden is doing Harden things.
Yeah.
And Kawhi is doing Kawhi things. And Paul George is doing Paul George things. And I don't know, man. This Clippers team is pretty fucking scary.
I got a theory about Harden finally figuring it out. He didn't play the playoff or the preseason or any of their other games in the regular season, so... I mean, it probably just took him a bit to get the rust off. That's probably what it was.
Like, yeah, and then also, like, a lot of his offense is predicated on a communication with the big. In this case, it's Ivica Zubac. And their chemistry at first was very bad, but they've definitely improved a lot lately. They are on a 7-game winning streak, which is the longest winning streak of any team in the league currently playing right now.
Zubac's been pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, this team is... menacing, man. They are currently sitting 6th in the West. Honestly, if there was a team that I could foresee passing the Minnesota Timberwolves between the Denver Nuggets, how they're currently playing, and what the Clippers are capable of doing if they remain healthy, I think that's the team.
I wouldn't be shocked. I think that if Kawhi is healthy, and I'm going to stress if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
I think that they're the title favorites.
It's not just Kawhi staying healthy. It's also Paul George. It's also even Harden. Harden's had issues with his hamstring in the last few seasons. He's definitely missed some time in the last 3 seasons because of leg issues.
There's just a difference though between Kawhi and George and their importance to like the overall. Kawhi just takes it to another level in the playoffs. I don't think George has. Kawhi in the playoffs is legitimately like the best player in the world.
No,
when he's functioning at the full force of his powers, he defends and he scores on anybody.
Hey, I just circled back. I know it was just one game against Phoenix,
but he my fucking god, it was He blowtorched us.
It was messy. It was messy. He made them messy. And like, if he's like a mystical beast. And Booker had arguably one of the greatest playoff runs in playoff history, and just got completely blowtorched by him. Now, granted, he then missed the rest of the playoffs, and then the Clippers went out with a whimper, not with a bang. But you know,
he's one of the best playoff performers ever when he's healthy.
Like I want to hope that the Clippers can finally do it.
I think if it's not the Suns, I think I'd like to see him win another ring more than anybody else in the league.
I do.
Like, I mean that full sincerity.
NBA University says that, you know, this is year five in the 5-year championship cycle that is Kawhi Leonard. So he won his first championship in NBA MVP when 5 years into his career, won his second one with the Raptors 10 years into his career. This will be 5 years since the Raptors championship. So he is due, like the Equinox.
But it's just a shame that we were robbed of so much of his prime.
The Zaza days of summer.
Fuck that fucking guy.
Zaza.
I mean, more so than anybody else. Fuck him. Fuck him completely. Just that fucking guy.
I know this wasn't on our list, but I have to ask. Is Daddy Luka Doncic for real? Do you believe in him? Do you believe in new dad Luka Doncic having dad superpowers now?
I've believed in Luka for years. I just hate that he was so shit-talky to Booker. And I get it because Booker did it too, but I don't like when people do it to me and my team.
Booker starts it, is the problem.
I get it, but I don't like... You got to take it. I don't want you to ditch it back.
Yeah.
Like, I've always believed in Luka. Luka is probably... Other than Jokic, I think Luka's the best player in the world. And that includes Giannis. And it's because... I feel like Luka has more on his shoulders in terms of the guys around him, the pieces around him. Giannis has won a championship already. Giannis has all-stars around him. And I know Luka has Kyrie now, but he didn't before. Giannis always had Middleton. Giannis had Drew, who was an all-star, an all-NBA level guy. And Luka's been by himself, and he's always been good. I think he's been great this year, and I think this might be his MVP year, potentially. Yeah. But we'll see what happens with the other teams, like the Wolves. I think Anthony Edwards has something to say.
All right, let me just pull something up real quick here. So Luka had to miss a game against the Memphis Grizzlies on December the 7th.
Yeah, and he came back and had an absolutely ridiculous triple-double his first game back.
Yeah, so his first game back, let me see here. All right, maybe I'm not looking at the first game then, because I don't see a triple-double here. 1 second. See if we can get a full list of the game logs here.
It might not be a triple-double. It might be just a ridiculous... Because he had like a stupid stat line, like 19 rebounds or assists or something stupid like that.
Yeah, let's see here. So he against the Clippers, he had 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 44 points, shooting 81% from the field. I followed it up 31 points, 29 points, then a triple-double against the Charlotte Hornets, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 23 points. Then he had 34 and 10 against the Denver Nuggets, 35, 12 and 12 against the Memphis Grizzlies. Then he had 41 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, or 49 points, sorry, 10 rebounds, 7 assists against the Brooklyn Nets. And then he toned it down a little bit, went with only 13 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 33 points against the San Antonio Spurs.
Well, yeah, that's the Wimby effect.
Yeah, so
Wimby held him to a little bit less.
Luka Doncic is having a career year.
Mm-hmm.
For a person who every year is a career year. And yeah, it seems like he has new dad superpowers. I believe in this, Luca. I believe in new dad Luca.
So, I mean, dad strength is a real thing. And it's confirmed in a real thing, for sure. Dad strength is a real thing. So there's no doubt that as soon as the baby was born, even though he didn't birth it, his body was just, it just swelled up with pride, and he's got dad strength now.
That's absolutely. It's amazing.
It's like a force of nature.
The actual skill of dad strength is being able to function on 2 to 3 hours of sleep. Yeah. But if Luca has like a caretaker or something like that, then he can take all of that dad strength that regular dads use to just being alive day to day while taking care of these kids. Then I 100% agree with that. Now the other thing about Luca that recently happened is he had his one tech reversed that he got for busting a player's ass is what his direct quote was. Ref had asked him to shake this player's hand, who is all upset. He's like, no, he's just upset because I'm busting his ass, and then he got a T for that. And the NBA decided to rescind it because it's not fair that he get a tech for busting a player's ass. So
yeah, I mean, he makes a career out of busting asses.
Yeah, I mean, and he does make a career of getting techs as well. But
no, come on. I mean, Draymond will take umbrage with that. You better watch your mouth.
I mean, they're pretty neck and neck at the end of every season. So that'll about do it for the Fool Court Press podcast, the only podcast made by fools for fools. It's me, Lufa, you, Sandy. You can leave us voicemail at 724-FU-FOOL, 724-383-6657. Follow us on Twitter, FCourt Press. Send topic suggestions to FCP Rundown. Or also follow us on Instagram or Threads at Fool Court Press Podcast. All right, Sandy, say bye.
Don't call me Sandy.
And don't call LeBron a bitch. Peace.